the laws that God gave in Leviticus, but that's why I'm not going to do it. Now, it's so much in it. You've got, and I could see Jesus Christ through the whole. I could see him. And like, you know, being 30 years old, starting his ministry, born of a virgin, man, when after he resurrected, he tells Mary, don't touch me. Then the Bible tells you in Leviticus that he couldn't have any kind of spot or any kind of blemish, no kind of tumor on the skin, nothing. He had couldn't have nothing like that. And but anyway, let's go to Matthew chapter 2. That would take me too long to do tonight, Leviticus. There's so much in Leviticus. And maybe we turn back to a little bit. We're going to read about the birth of Christ. And God gave all those ceremonial laws, all those civil laws, all that law, all the way through Leviticus and Numbers, Deuteronomy. He gives all these laws, and they had, I think there's 3,000 and some odd laws in the Bible. 3,600 some odd laws, something like that. There's a lot of laws. And the Bible says Jesus Christ was our, or the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And to show man that, man, you know, God gave all these laws. And we say, why did God give all these laws? Because God's holy. Amen. And he's righteous. Amen. And he's just. And he couldn't have sin abide with him. Couldn't have it around him. And through the beginning of time, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Father knew. I mean, from you read Genesis, and he knew that his son was going to come and die because that no man could keep the law. The Bible says if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty for every bit. And they had to have a sacrifice for everything. Had to have a sacrifice for, you know, for any trespass offering, they had to have a sacrifice for a house, the dedication. I mean, all these different sacrifices, and I could go through it. There's so many sacrifices that were had given, or so many offerings they had to give. And if they were poor, they had to bring a turtle dove or something, you know. And then you read about the scapegoat. He goes through Leviticus and talks about the scapegoat. And I could see Barabbas there. And he's saying, and I could see Herod saying, who do you want me to release on you, Barabbas, which is a murderer? Or do you want me to release you, Jesus? And they were yelling, Barabbas. And Barabbas was the scapegoat, got to go free. And Jesus Christ became the offering. But here he is being born, God, in the year about 4,000, you know, about 4,000 B.C., or not 4,000 B.C., 4 B.C., Jesus Christ is being born. And he came with one purpose, came to die. That was his whole, he came to be the Lamb of God without spot or wrinkle, without any sin. He was tempted in all points, yet without sin. I mean, he was tempted in all points. You read Matthew chapter 4, you find where the devil takes him up into a high mountain. You know, you say, here's the crazy thing about it. You say, could Jesus sin? I say no. But could he sin? Well, the devil wouldn't have tried it if he didn't. If he didn't think he could. He was all man, but he was all God. The devil wouldn't have came to him and said, you know, let me take you up in the high mountain. And here Jesus fasted for 40 days before this even happened. He didn't eat for 40 days. Fast and pray. And he went through all that, and then the devil tempts him in Matthew chapter 4. And you find all that and you think, man, I mean, there's, you know what, in our life, all we can see in our life is this little area that we have in our life, but we don't see the full picture. We don't see when you read your Bible, you start getting more of a picture of what really is going on. Amen. You start seeing things, what really going on in life. What happens is most people are focused on their little teeny life. You know, they're focused on that. And, you know, and that's all they can focus on. When you read Leviticus, you find the Lord talks about, you know, this person couldn't do this if they were undefiled and all that. And then, you know, then you get the New Testament after Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. As Brother Mike was preaching about it. And after he was resurrected, then he made us kings and priests on our God. And then, but you see, still a lot of that offering in that thing, it has to be done even after you're saved as a child of God, you've got to be willing to offer yourself to qualify to serve God. You can, if you don't offer yourself to qualify to serve God, you're not going to be used. You got to offer yourself. The Bible says, that's why Romans 12, we quote it so easily, but it's, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, a lot of young people, all they can do is focus. A lot of older people, all they can do is focus on their little life, and they think that's all they can see, but they can't see the big picture because they don't read the Bible. And then the Bible says, what is your life but a vapor? It appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Here we are. Here I am, 64 years old, and you think, how much more quality life do I have? How much more quality life do I have to be able to serve God? I don't know. How much more quality life do you have? You don't know. We've had people die at a young age. We don't know. So, you know, Jesus Christ came to fulfill Scripture. Every time you turn around, he's always saying, I got to fulfill Scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 2, and we'll read the account of his birth. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, you know, when we went to Israel, and Sheila knows this too, when we went to Israel, we went to the Garden of Gethsemane. We went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and when we came out of the Garden of Gethsemane, a whole lot of Muslims were standing outside the garden, the gate. And you got to go up. And you, when the Bible says he went up the Mount of Olives, he went up. You had to go up. The Garden of Gethsemane was below Mount of Olives. And so, anyway, when you come out of there, there's Muslims standing out there saying, hey, you want to go to Bethlehem? A Jew can't take us to Bethlehem. A Jew's not allowed. If you ride on them big buses, you know, they get the tour bus, and you're on the tour bus, and right when they get close to the perimeter of Bethlehem, Judea, Bethlehem, the Jew, they stop the bus. The Arab is usually Arab drivers. And the Jew has to get off at that point and wait till they go to Jerusalem. And when they take them in quick, take them in to show them a couple things, and then they get out. But it says he was born in Bethlehem, our God. And the Muslims knew it. They know. They want to control anything and everything that Jesus Christ has to do with, or the Jews have any kind of holy place. That's why they jumped in there and built that Dome of the Rock where the temple was. And the Bible says, born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. So when the Bible talks about men came from the east onto Jerusalem, they came probably from, you know, Iraq, right in the area, Iraq. It says, saying, where is he born, a king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. That means that you got these Arabs, Iraqis, coming to worship the king. Man, they're Arabs. And saying, where is he born, king of the Jews? Or they either were Jews that were in the east, either one, seen the star in his east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And the reason why he was troubled, the reason why Herod, he was concerned about his own position. And that Bible says that, it says also that the reason why they brought Jesus Christ up for prosecution, the reason why they wanted to kill him is because they were worried about their position. You know, people, it's funny how people act when they think their position is being threatened. It's funny how they act. They go against anything that's common sense. They start acting crazy. And they go against that, and they start worrying about their position. The Bible says that Herod knew, or Pilate knew, they brought him up because of envy. They envied him. Envy is a dirty, dirty word, envy. Boy, you get envious of people. The Jews were envious. The Pharisees were envious of Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's raising the dead. He was healing the sick, and everybody was going after him. And they weren't nothing anymore. They didn't mean nothing anymore. They thought about their position. They thought about their power. They had power. When people think about losing their position and their power, and they worry about that. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And he wanted to know, where is this guy going to be born at? Where was he born at? And the Bible says, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem, Judea. See, the Pharisees, they knew where he was. You know what? They knew who he was. I believe in the book of John. Somebody find me over in John. It says they knew, the Pharisees knew. They knew who he was. It's in John chapter 16, somewhere in there. And it says, where he should be born, and they said on him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written, it was, I'm thinking about the Pharisee that prophesied that Jesus, one should die for the whole nation. He said that, and I think it's in the book of John. Thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not thou not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. They knew that. Remember we was reading in Genesis, when Jacob was given the prophecy? He said, the lawgiver shall not depart from Judah, from between his feet. The lawgiver. And it says, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then the prophecy is back in Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. Go back to Isaiah 9. This Bible comes right together. It just fits right together. People say, well, I don't understand it. Well, you gotta seek the king. Seek the king. Wise men seek him. They say wise men still seek him. Are you still seeking him? And Isaiah chapter 9. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. Look at this. Isaiah 9, look at verse 6. For unto us a child is born. Prophecy. About 700 and some years before Jesus Christ was born, Isaiah says, unto us a son is given, or a child is born. Brother Mike covered this the other night. A child is born. I like what he said. I like what Mike said the other night. He's unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Different. Not just a child, but the Son of God. He said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That look at this. We ain't got to worry about who's, if China, I don't have to worry about Russia. I don't have to worry about all the, in a sense, we pray, God, keep America free, keep our government, and, you know, all the junk going on in the government, all the lying, cheating, stealing, all that stuff going on. It says, but the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. That's why you pray for him to come. If the Lord comes back, he's going to be a righteous governor. He's going to be the righteous king. And he'll rule the world with a, you know, Bible says with a iron fist. And there ain't nobody going to be telling him what to do. There ain't nobody going to punch him in the face anymore. Of the increase of his government and peace, there should be no end. Look at that. No end. No end. You know what? When you read Genesis, I'm just thinking about this. You read Genesis. It says, first day, on the first day, evening and morning. On the second day, evening and morning. On the third day, evening and morning. On the fourth day, evening and morning. On the fifth day, evening and morning. And on the sixth day, evening and morning. But on the seventh day, it doesn't say evening and morning. Doesn't say it. You know what? You know why? Because there's no end. No end. After the seventh thousand year, there'll be no end. Isn't that something? He says, evening and morning, 7,000. No evening, no morning. It's going to be just one day. Look here. The increase of his government and peace, there should be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to rule, to order it, to establish it with what? Judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Man, that was a prophecy before he was born. And we could go back all these prophecies. Just like I said, I've been reading in Leviticus and seeing all this stuff, man, and marking it in my Bible, just marking all this stuff. And talk about how a priest should be. You think about this. When Jesus Christ rose from the grave, now we went into the tomb over there, and the Bible says when he rose from the grave, his clothes were folded up in a nice area, in a corner. And the napkin that they put over his face was like, what was he wearing? He was getting ready to go put the priestly outfit on, the garments. But when he showed up in the garden, with Mary, he said, don't touch me. I haven't yet ascended to our Father. She thought he was a gardener. He disguised himself. But when he walked into the throne, he had some priestly outfit on. The high priest. Man. Boy, you know the Bible says, you read about them priests, man. You read about that thing. They had to go into the holy place. And they had to change their clothes, wash themselves, clean themselves. They better not have no scab, better not have no cut. They better not have nothing like that. When they went in there once a year into the Holy of Holies, they better be, man, without blemish, perfect. And plus, they had to sacrifice a lamb for their own sin first, and then for the people. And then they had to carry the blood. They carried the blood. So they had to put the garments on, the priest's garments, and they were like, they couldn't sweat. It was almost like silk. They couldn't have no sweat on them at all. If they walked in there and they were sweating, they were in jeopardy of their life. The Bible says they had bells around the bottom of their robes. So when they moved, did the service, they did the service and got out quick. Jesus Christ goes up. But here's another thing. Jesus Christ, after he resurrected from the grave, we're talking about his birth here, but after he resurrected from the grave, it was 12 hours before he goes up. He had 12 hours. You said what he arose Saturday night at 6:01, evening and morning. The Jewish day starts at 6 o'clock. So he's had 12 hours to go around and deal with people or even talk to people. And then he goes to the garden, and Mary runs out there at 6 o'clock in the morning. She runs out there about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, and he walks up, and they said, "Where have you laid my Lord? Where'd you put him?" Whew. He was born to die. He was born to die. The Bible says, Herod says, where's he going to be born at? Bethlehem, Judea. All right, I'll take care of that. I'll see to it. Look what it says. It says, then Herod, verse 7, he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search diligently for the young child. By this time, Jesus Christ is not a baby anymore. He's just a young child. He's about 2 years old. The child is about 2 years old. Jesus Christ was born in a manger. But by this time, when the wise man comes, see, they always have, when Jesus is born, you know, he's just a baby in the manger. But here, at this time, he's a young child. And that's why this happened. And the Bible says, inherit. When he privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. Oh, yeah, he thought about worship. He didn't want to worship God. He was worshiping himself. And when they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, a star, which they saw in the east. You ever ride down the road looking, you know, people say, oh, if you see a shooting star, wish upon a star and all that. I don't have to wish upon a star. I don't have to do that. You look out. If you look out up north, you look north and you look at that north star, that star right there is always there. It's in the same place. You know why? God's showing people how they can get to heaven. Go through that way. Looking up. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And you're not praying to a star. But Jesus Christ is, that's the way. I mean, were you talking about heaven? That's north. That's why the sailors and everybody use that north star. But he's called the bright morning star. Right. Jesus Christ is called the bright morning star. And when they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I'm going to tell you, folks, we ought to be rejoicing with exceeding great joy, knowing that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing we're going to heaven, no matter what COVID's done, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what, we still ought to be rejoicing over that our names are written down. Like Jesus said, he said, don't rejoice because you cast out devils and all that. He said, rejoice that your names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I can rejoice over that. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child, notice it keeps saying young child, with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt. Be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took He took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that he might be that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." And then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. Isn't that something? He wanted to come and worship, huh? Can you imagine that? All those children, 2 years old and under. Look what it says. And in the coast thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the young child. They said that soldiers threw them in the air, caught them with their swords, caught the children with their swords. Then there's the prophecy. Prophecy, verse 17, when it was fulfilled, which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramoth was there a voice heard, lamentation, weeping, great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not." I mean, Herod was a brutal killer, killing little babies. But anyway, go to Luke chapter 2. We get a comment on all that tonight, but Luke chapter 2, we get to prayer here in a minute. I love the story. We sat around the house one Christmas, all of us. We were sitting there and we started reading about the birth of Christ. We all got weeping, how God's been so good to us. And still, it brings tears. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." Isn't that something? The Lord went when Rome was in power and all the world was going to be taxed, and they had to go to Bethlehem. Being taxed, this taxation was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. They were all Democrats. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, onto the city of David." Bethlehem is called the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And it was so. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Never has been, never will be room for Jesus Christ. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. So these are shepherds, and the other one was kings of the east. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you." How many of y'all love to hear Handel's Messiah? Man, I'll tell you what, nothing like it. Nothing like hearing Handel's Messiah. Handel wrote that, man. They said whenever that was played in England, the Queen of England would stand and with her head bowed. Whew! Thank God. Hallelujah. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were all sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not." I think I wrote down in my Bible, there's 360 times or 65 times the Lord said, "Fear not." 365 times he said, "Fear not. Fear not." 365 days in a year, every day, "I fear not. Don't worry. Trust me. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was great angels with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men." And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see the thing which has come to pass." A lot of the Bible correctors like to jump on that, where it says, "Let's see the thing." They said the Bible translators called Jesus this thing. That's them. They said that's what the shepherds said. let's go see this thing. They recorded exactly what was said. They said, well, he's the Son of God. He's Jesus. But the Bible says it recorded this thing. That's what they said. And it says, see the thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary, Joseph, and the baby lying in the manger. That's when these guys came that very night and saw that baby lying in the manger. There was a bunch of cows, a bunch of donkeys, a bunch of no pigs, and a bunch of other things. And then here was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world, laying in the manger. And it says, they came with haste, found Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Them shepherds got fired up. They went outside that manger and they started telling people, that's the Son of God. Amen. The Son of God. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. And that when the eighth day was accomplished and so on. I mean, I'll tell you what, that had to be some night. And then it got 2 years going by, and that's when the kings come. So, amen, what a blessing. I wanted to go through Leviticus, but we're not going to have the time tonight. But there's so much. When you read Leviticus, ask God to show you something in there. And I'm telling you, there's a lot in the book of Leviticus. All right, let's have Brother Ken take a prayer.